I noticed, you know, see, Pastor Kenny is much more organized than that, because always when he did the bulletin for me, when they're doing the bulletin, he always gives the order of the service. So I could look and see, okay, I got to do this next. Because my mind, if you ask my wife, how many of you ever seen Homeward Bound? I'm Chance. Okay. So it's Squirrel, Butterfly, you know what I'm saying? So they're lining up, but he can concentrate better. So I looked at this morning, and that's why I messed up Andrew a little bit, because I did things out of order, because it wasn't listed for me. All right? Amen. I'll make my prayer, and we'll get into the message. Heavenly Father, now, Lord, we do come before you, God. I ask for a fresh unction from on high. Father, you take control of my mind and my mouth, the actions of my hands and feet, Lord, that Jesus could be high and lifted up. And Father, if there's someone here without knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray today could be the day of salvation for them. We pray now, Father, that we would just, everyone here, saved or lost, would come apart from the cares of the world. And Father, that they would open their hearts and minds and be able to hear as the Holy Spirit speaks to them, whether it be for salvation or whether it be for renewed and strengthened relationship with their great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless this service now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I mentioned the title is Coming Back from Sinful Choices. And there's going to be three C's this morning. I'll give you them ahead of time. You can catch them. I may remember to say them. I may not. Okay. But one, your first C is be concerned. Okay. Be concerned. The second C, as I look at my notes, is be committed. Okay? Be committed. And the third C is be content. If you're going to come back from sinful choices, you better be concerned, committed, and when things are made right, learn to be content. Amen? Amen. Romans 15, this is lemon water. You don't think I have any problem being loud, but it helps me. So they're all going, don't drink anymore. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tells us, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience, that's a word, saved and lost alike, don't like, right? That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, what? Might have hope. If you're here this morning and you don't know for sure that if you were to die, that heaven would be your home, if you don't plan on dying, okay, and you know something's changing, if you're not ready to know that at the voice of the archangel and the trump of God that you're going up, you can know. The Bible says these things in 1 John 5, these things are written that you might know that you have eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son this morning? I don't care how young you are or how old you are. If you're old enough to understand that what you've done is wrong and it's sin, you're old enough to need to be saved. Amen? Sin condemns everyone. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You may be a better person than me, but you're not better than God. And to be in God's presence, you can't have sin because He's holy, righteous, just, pure, and perfect in all His ways. When a person comes to Jesus Christ, because He is the only way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So sin condemns all, and only Jesus saves all who come to Him. If you're looking at a situation, the beginning of a relationship with God, you can't truly have one until you are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's eternal salvation. I think Brother Larry kind of made that point when he was dealing with the apostles this morning. Okay? Because the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you are His, forever. Amen? That's the beginning of a relationship. You can have a relationship with God when you know Christ the Savior. Otherwise, you have a relationship with religion. And that's not salvation. I got saved out of religion. I have salvation. Amen? Okay, so that's the beginning of the relationship. Well, now, once you have a relationship, you can either have a good relationship or a so-so relationship or a stinking relationship. And stinking relationships with Jesus Christ comes from stinking thinking. All right? So many times people read their Bibles and they do not look and to see what it's trying to say to them. You look and you read the story of Joshua and you go, well, we're not going to war. Maybe soon. We've got things pretty much okay with the Lord. Okay? If you're here this morning and you're saved, you are a soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. You are in a spiritual battle that's not necessarily fought with guns and knives and bombs. But it is a very serious battle. When we read about Israel here going into battle, when they're going to take the land and they go after Ai, they thought they were okay. And you know what they found out? They weren't ready for battle. They weren't ready for battle. So here in Joshua chapter 7, I want you to turn there because we're going to be looking at some things, okay? What you see is a sinful choice broke a right relationship. Okay? And then in the rest of the text that we read, the beginning of that, and what we'll see when we get to chapter 8, because I'm not reading all of chapter 7 and all of chapter 8. That's not the point. I'm showing you certain things with it. Is that sin enters in. Sin enters in. Be concerned. If you are not careful about your choices, sin will enter in. Amen? Don't think you can avoid it. Joshua chapter 7. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan. Now you notice first it says the what? Children, plural. The reason I want you to understand that is because one man in one family sinned, but it affected all. The world tries to teach, well, that's my private choice, and as long as it only affects me, it doesn't affect anybody else. Look at me, young and old alike. Your choices always affects other people. Always affects other people. For the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up to view Ai, because they had just had won a battle, right? Joshua, the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua, the battle of Jericho, and the walls come tumbling down. They'd had a victory in their life. They'd won a great victory. Their first battle after crossing the Jordan River. They won the battle. And why they were in the battle? One man decides, ooh, I like the looks of that. That's all that happened. Do you understand? My daughter has been putting on, working very hard and doing a special thing for a group. It's a Jewish group that helps cancer patients. And she's been working months getting donations, trying to raise money. She was shooting for about $2,000. So far, that's up to over $6,000. They have more coming in. And she had all these expensive donations come in, and they gave her a space in a mall to set up a little store. You had people, and it was all lined up, and it was all these high-quality things, jewelry, pocketbooks, clothing, and all these things, some of it brand new with the tags on it. There was a lot of stuff, and they did TV spots for it and everything. And when you came in, a $400 item might sell for $45, it might sell for $10. They were just not trying to. And so you did this, and everybody knew it was for to help this organization with what they do to help the women with cancer. It's not for cancer research. It's to help them with a rug for their head, okay? For wigs, to help them with what they're facing and the different things that take place, because my daughter's a cancer survivor. And they ran this thing, and it was very successful. The only problem they had is the people who set up near the back doors, which were locked, and distracted people so they could steal a few $1,000s worth of stuff out of a special event. You say, people would never do that. How many of you ever took your mom's extra cookie when she said no? We're all capable of it. In the wrong situation or with the right temptation. Do you understand? So that's what you see here. That's why I'm saying God sees it as it affects the family. One person sins in the family, God sees the family having a problem. Be sure your sin will find you out. He sends them on to Ai, and he's going around in those verses and tells them we don't need to take that many up there. You know, they look at it and they figure, boy, we just wiped out Jericho. You know, they walked around the walls. They broke a pitcher. Right? The trumpet of the Lord in. Right, you know, whatever the different things, you know how God works in so many different things? They shouted and the walls came down in Jericho. God was with them. Have you ever been in a place, now I spoke about salvation, but the message this morning is for believers, those who've trusted Christ as Savior. Have you ever found a time where you just got to see God bless? And you go, man, look at that. God is with us. I must be special. So he tells them to go up, you know, and they return to Joshua and they say, well, this is really, there's no challenge for us. We don't need to send the whole army. We're only going to send 3,000, right? Isn't that what he did? He sent 3,000. You know what happens sometimes when you see God's blessing in your life? And Pastor Kenny's preached on this. You start doing some things right. You start obeying the Lord. You start following what God says for you according to what he gives you in his word. And God starts blessing. You start seeing the blessing. Well, then you start presuming upon that relationship. You ever heard where sometimes people run into problems in their marriages because one person just takes the other one for granted? They were taking their relationship with God for granted. Husbands can do it to wives. Wives can do it to husbands. Children do it to their parents all the time. Just take it for granted. You're always going to be there. We're always going to have this relationship. They're in a battle. Don't you know you're in a battle today for the lives of your loved ones for all eternity? It's a battle. Sin entered in. 3,000 men went against this little city, and 36 of them go down. So they start running and turn their backs from what God had told them to do. Because now all of a sudden they think, well, God must not be with us. See, I want you to see what you need to do with this. Is when sin enters in, be concerned. Deal with it. Deal with it. Presuming upon God's protection without protecting your relationship is the sin of presumption. Judy and I were married 50 years. She doesn't look a day over 39. She may cough like 100, but she looks only 39. Okay. I've never looked young. You just can't make Shrek look that good. That's all there is to that. Okay? 50 years, we still have to work on our marriage. We still have to check and see where we are. We still have to talk to each other. We still have to see if one has offended the other and how can that be taken care of. How can one please the other more? Because that's what real love's about, isn't it? Well, your relationship with God comes into play with that. They had the sin of presumption. They just thought God was going to be with them. They put emphasis on the blessing of God. It was there without understanding that the emphasis should have been on the one who brings the blessing. Amen? Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're coming back to Joshua 7, but Ephesians chapter 5. All you people coughing, are you trying to act like you cough older than my wife does? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 8. For ye, speaking to the believers at Ephesus, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Then what does it say to do? Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. I use the husband-wife relationship as an example because your relationship with Jesus Christ is compared to that, isn't it? In Ephesians chapter 5, if we went a little bit farther. Okay? And what you need to do is what pleases. How many of you have ever had something that pleased you at one point and then not so much? So you continue to look at, see what is pleasing. Okay? Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Now, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then look what it says. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, see, don't presume, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Walk, how? Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming, giving value, buying back that time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. To walk circumspectly means to walk carefully, looking around you. It's my favorite time of the year. It's hunting season. It's the fall. I like being in the woods. This is why my eye is swollen up. I got something irritated, okay? I was busy cutting a new trail to get out, to make it easier to get to where I wanted to go with my golf cart that the church bought me. It's got big high wheels on it, okay, but it doesn't go through skid steer ruts real well. If you don't know what they are, ask me later. Okay, so I got to make a different way to go out through there, and I'm working, and I'm sweating, and I've got gloves on, and I'm cut these logs that were in a way that it wouldn't go over, and I go to pick them up and move them, cut them to pieces, and I got sweating, and I went like this with this glove I just been picking all the stuff up with. Okay, you know what I didn't do? I didn't pay close enough attention. What I like to do when I'm hunting is to look very carefully. I take three steps and stop for a count of 5 or 10, and then take three steps and stop. And I walk quietly out to my tree stand. I do this different things, and I'm looking around. But because I've had such spine damage, I don't feel my feet well. So now I have to look out ahead and look down. And look out ahead and look down. And when I'm in the woods, I go with a walking stick, because if I don't, my balance is a little off. If you spend all your time looking down, your balance will be off. Okay, so I got to look around. You walk circumspectly in your Christian life. It says, the snare is set in vain in the sight of any bird, okay? So you got to watch carefully. You pay attention. You guard against possible danger. Isn't that what parents do for their kids? They will rush headlong into it. Okay, especially if it's a boy. Michael. They will run. He's out there sitting, and he just turned around and looked at me like this. He's sitting circumspectly because he's protecting the building, okay? You know what they did? They dwelt on their blessings and didn't look at the one who gave them the blessing to make sure their relationship was right. They forgot to walk circumspectly, protecting their relationship with their God. They had just seen Jericho fall miraculously. And everybody thinks everybody will do something right. You know, people come to church. I always find it funny. Someone who just recently gets saved, they come to church, you know, and they don't know what to do. Sometimes they don't have any money or whatever, and they go, I can't go to your church. Everybody's in ties, in suit coats. And the women, we were told to come to your church, the women had to wear a dress that covered them from just below their chin to their ankles. We don't fit in. Come on in. If you're a sinner, we want to see you saved. Amen. If you are saved, you're a sinner saved by grace who became a saint, and you're part of a family, and you belong. Amen. All right? But sometimes you don't feel that, and you have to learn to do that. And you know something? You turn around with that, and they come in, and sometimes, you know what they think about people who are here all the time? They think we all have our act together. Isn't that nice? You don't know that Kevin could be doing something and Nancy pushes him off a ladder and he hurts his leg. That's not what happened there either, okay? All men are liars. Okay. They come in and they don't know. All right? They think better of you than you truly know you. Okay? Well, the children of Israel, they just won a battle. So you know what? They thought better of everyone there, and they didn't know. They didn't know sin had come into the camp. See, because Achan had disobeyed the direct order of God. If we went earlier, I won't turn there, but he told them, you don't take anything. You kill them all. And you don't have anything to do with their idols and their gold and their silver. Everything that goes to God. You don't have that. That's not yours. He told them a very specific way to deal with Jericho and the battles. And you know why? Because God wants to protect you from what it can cost you until you're ready to be able to handle it with his help. That's what that is. That's what's taking place here. Look at verse 10 of Joshua chapter 7. This is being concerned, okay? So they turn around and we get here. Joshua's crying out to God because God's hand of blessing isn't on him. He let them start to lose. And he's going, God, why aren't you with us? And in verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel had sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled. What does it mean to dissemble? To lie, to cause people to come apart. They're dissemblers. They aren't assembling. You know what happens when someone gets into sin? You know what they want to do? One, they won't be honest about it, until they start drawing back. You understand me? And they have put even among their own stuff. Let's hide it. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify yourselves. You see where it's going? Sanctify yourselves. That means set yourselves apart for tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until they take away the accursed thing from among you. You deal with sin early and often. Okay? You know what it comes down to? It comes down to this. That which you are truly concerned about, you'll deal with. Do you hear me? If you're truly concerned about it, you'll deal with it. Most of the time, we get concerned how other people see us about the thing we should be concerned about. You with me? What sort of things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You got to deal with it. Because you can belong to God, but God won't take you any farther when you refuse to deal with the issue that he brings to your mind. I pray continually, Lord, what's between you and me? Lord, help me to remember. Help me to deal with it. I'm not an easy person to live with. If I'm not 15 minutes early, I'm 10 minutes late. Okay? If I think somebody is talking too long to explain something, I have to shut my mouth. Okay? Pastor Kinney, he's got patience you wouldn't believe. He'll listen and listen and listen. Pastor Gipp, when he was my associate, he had no patience. He wasn't going to listen to you. Oh, yeah, I got this, this, and it's gone. I'm not that way, but what it comes down to so many times, you know what it is? You think you know what it is, and you haven't spent the time to listen so you can truly know where they're coming from. Men, not in the message. Listen to your significant other. They may just want you to hear so they can bounce it off of you, and then they can resolve it, and then they can feel better about it. So then they can make you that meal from the groceries that you want them to multiply. Okay? They don't necessarily need you to fix it. They need you to listen. If they want you to fix it, they'll say, please take care of this for me. You know what men want to do? We want to fix it. Close your mouth and say, really, honey? Okay. Tell me more. See, God won't take you any farther if you refuse to deal with that he reveals to you. If you are not listening to him, you won't hear what he's going to reveal. That's for all of us. Okay. Women want to relate. Men want to do this and go on to the next thing. Okay. So men, shut up and listen. Okay? When you know, don't wait. Take care of it now. See, be concerned with it. Deal with it early and deal with it always. 1 John chapter 1. We're coming back to Joshua chapter 17. 1 John chapter 1. This is the message, verse 5, that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Nothing is in the dark to God. He sees it all, knows it all, and he can deal with it all. Sometimes you don't bring something because you don't know how they're going to deal with it. Kids are afraid of how their parents are going to deal with an issue, so they don't bring it to them. Children, your parents love you more than anybody else but your Savior. Go to them first. Don't be afraid because a little bit of discipline's coming. They want to protect you and help you and take care of you. Amen? See, that's not in the message either, but it needed to be there. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, because He says all men are liars, and His word is not in us. See. Take care of it now. Take care of it now. How many of you know what a herpetologist is? It's not somebody who studies herbs. I didn't say herpetologist, I said herpetologist. Okay? They study snakes. I have a nephew who's at an upper position now in the maintenance area at Syracuse University, and years ago he called me. He goes, "Uncle Brian, you wouldn't believe this." He was the head of the maintenance of the buildings at that time, and he says, "There's this college professor, this woman here who works in women, feminine studies." I think that's what it is. If I get some of this wrong, God knows. Happened a long time ago, okay? And she had a pet boa constrictor. She wasn't attached to anybody. She wasn't married. She didn't have a snake. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have children or this. She loved that snake, and she let the snake sleep with her every night. And she'd lay down, and the snake would curl up next to her. And the snake would curl up next to her, and the snake went from a little boa constrictor to, she fed it well, a big boa constrictor. And she thought they were buddies. And she had it for a few years. You know, and people didn't pay attention. They didn't know what's going on in her life or whatever. And all of a sudden, the snake started acting funny. And she woke up in the middle of the night one night, and the snake's head was right up next to her head. And it was stretched out stiff as a board alongside of her. And she'd never seen that before. She was afraid her snake was getting sick. It was so stiff, it just laid straight there next to her, straight out. Well, they have a herpetologist who works in the science department at Syracuse University. And she went to him and she goes, "Doc, I got to talk to you about this. I think my snake is sick." "Well, tell me what happened. You got a snake? Yeah, tell me what happened." "Well, I normally just let him sleep on the bed and he's right there and it's not a problem and it doesn't bother me at all. And all of a sudden, 2 days ago, it stretched out and I woke up and it was next to me, stretched as straight and as stiff as it could be. And I go, maybe it's sick, and I waited a day and it did it again last night." And he says, "Get rid of the snake or kill it." And she goes, "But I love the snake, and the snake loves me." And he goes, "That snake is measuring to see if you fit inside of him. Because they dislocate, they open up, okay? You ever see a snake with a big lump? That's because he swallowed an animal whole, okay?" She thought it was okay. It wasn't that big a deal. Well, guess what? She didn't get rid of the snake, and the snake's no. She ended up having to get rid of the snake. Even though it meant something to her, she had to be committed. You see what I'm saying? To deal with it. She wasn't concerned until something became completely obvious that something was wrong. How many of you know it's wrong to sleep with a snake? She wasn't concerned. Be concerned when sin enters in. Be committed to deal with it when you're finally given the information needed. You still with me? Be committed to deal with your sin, or your sin becomes a sinful habit. And then your habit becomes what the world calls an addiction, and it's controlling you and you're not controlling it. You got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of it early, and you got to get rid of it till it's gone. Addiction program used to have a saying. It says, little sins lead to big sins. Turn to Psalm 26. See? Be concerned. Psalm 26. You still with me? Okay. Psalm 26. In verse 2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove my heart. Try my reins and my heart. Are you concerned yet? Okay. Are you concerned? Go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. End of the psalm, the last two verses. Can you read these out loud with me? You ready? Please stand. I'll make you get up because I'm putting you to sleep. I want you to stand up once, then you can sit back down. Okay, you ready? Psalm 139 and verse 23. Psalm 139 and verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You can sit down. When a church does the Lord's table, Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11, I believe it is, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 11, I think it is. Okay, verse Let me see. Can't see out of that eye. Verse 28. It says, so let a man examine his wife. So let a woman examine her husband. So let children examine their parents. So let a man examine his neighbor. So let a man examine his boss. So let a man examine his church family. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, so let a man examine himself. Checking to see if there's something between you and Jesus, so when you pray, your prayers will get answered. Because some of them didn't do it when they take the Lord's table. And it says, and some of you are sickly, and some of you even because they weren't examining their relationship and keeping short accounts with God. I do marriage counseling, premarriage counseling, and I tell people all the time, you have to make deposits in the bank account of your marriage, or you will overdraw and bounce. Make sense? You bounce it more than once and it starts getting real expensive, and sometimes they close the account. So you need to be concerned. This message is, again, the title is Coming Back from Sinful Choices. Be concerned. Be committed. Back to Joshua chapter 7 and Joshua chapter 8. Okay? Be concerned. I spent a lot of time on that. You will not be committed, and you can't be content until you become concerned. Amen? It's not rocket science. know what you need to be committed to? When it's been revealed, you committed to God's leading and what he tells you to do. Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise and go up to Ai. Don't take 3,000 again, you chicken. See, I have given you into the hand of the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Isn't that interesting? So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. When you're concerned, you'll deal with the sin. I didn't read the part of the chapter in chapter 7 that tells you that they drew lots and they found out where the sin came from, and Achan caused his whole family to be stoned and they were separated from Israel. Sometimes, believer, you have to be separated from someone who won't acknowledge or is hiding their sin. It brings about judgment. Well, it got so far with them that God says, no, they have to go. They're done. Their lives are taken. Will I see Achan in heaven one day? I don't know. I know he was of the children of Israel, but he'd taken the accursed thing. He'd done that which went against what God had told him to do. You still with me? Then he tells them, they get it right, and he says, okay, now listen to me. See, because they made the choice on their own. God didn't say, only take 3,000, did he? The first time? They sent spies in. They looked, said, this is small. We can just wipe them out. We don't need to send the whole army. You guys can sit and bivouac, okay? You don't need to deal with this. We'll just take 3,000 good stone slingers and we'll take care of this in a hurry. They deal with the sin. They were concerned. They dealt with it. And now God says, you're going to go back, all of you. Because sometimes when you don't enter into the battle, you know what? You're not as committed to the battle as the people who go into the battle. Amen? Sometimes when you don't work on your marriage, you're not as committed as the person who's trying to strengthen their marriage, strengthen their family, strengthen their work relationship, strengthen their friendships, strengthen their church family. So they all need to know that they're going into the battle. You need to be committed to follow God's leading. See, this commitment followed judgment and funerals. Do you realize that? And the Lord said unto Joshua, be afraid, be very, very afraid. No. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. You know why I like that saying? This is in the beginning of Joshua. This is Joshua chapter 7. The first chapter of Joshua, you hear, be thou not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou. Okay? When God's with you, you can go. It's fear not. You're a New Testament believer. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a... See? That's part of your faith. Make sure that it's God speaking to you. God will never speak to you in your mind or in your intuition and in your thoughts contrary to what his word tells you. I know what God says, but God's revealed to me. Yeah. See, Judy and I, we still laugh at it. You know, it's like we look at, we just knew that. Please, Lord, let that guy be right. I know he's on YouTube and I can't get my doctrine from YouTube. But he says, you're coming back on October 9th. Amen. And I want out of here. Wasn't God who spoke to him. Because he did say something like, but the day and the hour no man knoweth but my Father which is in. I'm just wondering what God says about it, okay? Fear not. Be committed to follow God's leading in his word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, your discerner, the place where your concerns are worked out. Not the pump in your chest, your spiritual heart, your soulish heart. Because you make decisions off the heart more than the mind. Knowledge puffeth up. Charity, God's love, edifieth. Still with me? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It's got to line up with God's way. You got to be committed to follow. You got to be concerned. You got to be committed to follow what God says. Now we're coming back to Joshua chapter 8. Go to Proverbs. If I could get people reading Proverbs every day and trying to put a practical application in their life, I could make Pastor Kinney's ministry a lot easier. He didn't do it for me, so I'm not doing it for him, though. Oh, I'm sorry. Pastor, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I love ministering to children. Can you see how I could fit in there? Okay. All right. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. You find this verse twice in Proverbs. I won't go to the other one. Well, maybe I will. It says, Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the what? Look at chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If it seems right to you, but it's not with God, right with God, wrong result. Okay? So we've got to be concerned. We've got to be committed to follow God's way. Now, Joshua chapter 8, just verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof. See, they were not allowed to take the spoil from Jericho. That was the accursed thing. They disobeyed God. That's what Achan took, and it got him in trouble. Now God says, you can take certain things. All right? Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. So now you can do it. You know what you got to do? You got to learn to be content with God's timing. You got to wait on God, and it's God's timing. God gave me Judy for a purpose. I told you, I'm anxious. I'm always. I have to pray. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. And I have to tell myself this all the time because I'm one of these people who go, I got to take care of that. I got to do this. I am ADHD and OCD. Okay? Obsessive compulsive. How many of you wash your hair even though you don't have much? Two or three times before you leave the shower. All right, I want you to know, I put on my pants the same way, one leg at a time, my shoes, one shoe at a time. I know if it happens for me, it's going to happen for some of you. Okay? Amen. Judy's never late, never lost, and on Hawaii time. He gave me her for that purpose. Just calm down, boy. Calm down. I deal with anybody. I'm going to pray with people. I'm going to make a hospital visit. I'm going to talk to somebody about something. I'm just going over to help my son at his house. And she looks at me and goes, "You be nice and take it easy." Yes. I will. Philippians chapter 4. I promise, we're getting to the end of this. I don't know about you, but I'm having a good time. Philippians chapter 4. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul used to be anxious, was worried about timing, didn't like being late. You say, how do I know that? Because it caused a problem between him and Barnabas, all right? Watch this. Ready? Verse 9 of Philippians 4. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." You have to wait on God's timing. You have to wait on God's timing. Be content. Coming back from sinful choices, be concerned about it. Deal with the sin as God tells you to. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be committed to follow His leading. Make sure it's His leading. And then be content in His timing as you go forward. Because if you're not, you'll go back into the thing that you had to be concerned about. Okay? You got to beware of the right thing at the wrong time. That's how Satan works. That's what happened. If Achan had known God's going to let us have it the next time, he wouldn't have taken it. He didn't wait on God. We try to get it in our timing. He didn't wait on God. Beware of the right thing at the wrong time. When you study the temptation of Jesus in Matthew 4, Luke 4, that's what you have. Something that will be Jesus's. Something Jesus will do at a different time. Right thing, wrong time. Turn to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. "Unto thee, O Lord," verse 1, "do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that" what? "Wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths." Look at verses 20 and 21 at the end of that psalm. "O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I" what? "Wait on thee." Did you get that? Look at Psalm 27, verse 14. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Abraham didn't wait on God, and it took a long time, didn't it? And that brought about Ishmael. The single biggest problem, a thorn in the side of God's chosen people, Israel, is the Ishmaelites. They're called by a different name today. Study out who they are. Okay? Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness because he was trying to do the right thing when he killed that Egyptian, but he did it the wrong time. Sometimes God's going to say, you're in too much of a hurry. Slow down and wait on me. Wait on me. So you got to be concerned. Get it? You got to be committed to follow, and you got to be content with God's timing. Lord, give me patience and give it to me. Please stand. If you're here this morning, are you here this morning? If you're trusting in a church, trusting in your own good works, trusting in religion, and not in the shed blood in the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trusting in the wrong thing. We invite you to come, and we'll have someone show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're saved. How you can know sins are forgiven, that heaven will be your home. Believer. The title of the message this morning was How to Come Back from Sinful Choices. Are you concerned? I do a lot of counseling and I tell people, I can't be more concerned than you are because I can't take care of for you. Let a man so examine himself. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, there's something there. Don't be full of pride, because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the... Come down and deal with it. Give it to him. Deal with it early. Deal with it often, until God takes it from you. You may be hid from the world, but it's not hid from God, and eventually God brings the hidden things to light. What are you hiding? You know, you don't think anybody else does, but everything is naked and open unto the eyes with whom we have to do. God speaking to your heart, you can come to the altar. Maybe you need to come and pray for someone else who's going through it. And you need to be there to help them wait and encourage them that God has an answer for it. If God speaking to your heart this morning, believer, are you concerned? Are you committed? Okay? Are you willing to be content? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your word and pray you'd be with this invitation hymn. Some have come. Maybe others need to, Father. But Lord, you know all things. And we pray you'd work in our hearts this morning and help us to be willing to get our hearts in aligned with you, so that we won't just look at past blessings, but we'll look at the relationship we have with the blesser, where all blessing flows from. Work in our hearts to that end, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.